Welcome everyone to the Ordinary Council meeting for November for the Brighton Council. Just remind everyone, an audio recording of this council meeting is being made in accordance with our policy 7.11. I'd like to begin by acknowledging the Palawarpakana, Tasmanian Aboriginal community, as the traditional and original owners of the skies, land and water of Litruwita, and forward our respects to their elders both past and present. Brighton Council acknowledges the continued connection the Tasmanian Aboriginal people still have to the skies, land and water of Litruwita that provides them with the food, medicine and craft celebrated through ceremony today. Item two is apologies and applications for leave of absence. Everyone is present.
Councillor Irons isn't present.
Very true. Councillor Irons is an apology. Can I have someone move that apology be accepted? Moved by Councillor Whelan, seconded by Councillor Curran. I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 3 is confirmation of minutes, and item 3.1 is confirmation of minutes of the Ordinary Council meeting held on the 15th of October. And they're submitted here for confirmation. Is there any discussion or debate? If not, can I have someone move? Moved by Councillor Geard, seconded by Councillor Owen. I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against?
Can you just remind us who moved and seconded for the leave of absence?
It was Councillor Whelan and Councillor Curran.
Thank you.
Moving on, item 3.2 is the Finance Committee meeting, held on the 5th of November, and the minutes are submitted for confirmation. Once again, is there any question or amendments?
So moved.
If not, they're moved by Councillor De La Torre, seconded by Councillor McMaster. Is there any discussion or debate? If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 3.3 is the Park and Recreation Committee meeting, and we have the minutes from that particular meeting on the 5th of November and submitted for confirmation. Once again, is there any questions or amendments?
I'm happy to move it.
Thank you. That is moved by Councillor Geard and seconded by Councillor McMaster. If there's no discussion or debate, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 3.4 is the audit panel meeting held on the 13th of September, and we have the minutes of that meeting submitted for confirmation. Is there any discussion or debate? If not, moved by Councillor Owen, seconded by Councillor Curran. If there's no debate, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 4 is declaration of interest. Does anyone wish to declare an interest on anything on the agenda this evening?
Yes.
Councillor Curran?
Mayor, I will leave the... Can you bring in which number? 12.1. Sorry, I'll leave the room at 12.1, please.
12.1. 12.1. Thank you. That's noted. Thank you very much. Item 5 is public question time and deputations. In accordance with the requirements of Part 2, Regulation 8 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures, the agenda is to make provisions for a public question time. As I indicated, the speakers have 3 minutes. That can be extended if Council wishes to allow that. At this point, there's no need to suspend standing orders. We only have 5 speakers for 3 minutes each, so we'll continue as normal, but if we do extend that, we can suspend standing orders and allow further discussion. Without further ado, I've got a list of names here. So is everyone happy to come up to the front, to the lectern?
Yep.
Thank you. Mr. Adrian Tanner.
Well, thank you for letting us make a presentation tonight, albeit brief. I would like to say that I'm Adrian Tanner, and I'm from the St. Anne's Village, and this development application over there, which is, I think, closes for comment on the 27th, has created a bit of angst in the village. And I think that's evidenced by the crowd that's turned up tonight. And that's after I gave them one day's notice of this meeting being on. It's a pretty good turnout. Now, in the village, we have multiple infrastructure issues, and I'd like to address or point out some of those issues to you tonight. First one, electricity and water. We don't receive our electricity and water from TAS Water or TAS Network. It's probably funded by the proponents. Now, this has led to various constraints that we have. Currently, our water, I think every property has a pressure reduction valve to limit the pressure in each house. The power, we've had problems, outages in winter when everyone puts their air conditioner on, the transformer trips. And also, we found out recently we're constrained in solar panels, that only a certain number of solar panels were allowed in the village. And if you didn't get any, then you miss out. And in this sort of day and age of climate change, we would like to switch to renewable energy. But we're being prevented. There are issues with the sewer. It's not as reliable as we would see if it was with TAS Water. But all this electric, water, sewer, the proponent hasn't provided any information about them in their application. And so it's difficult for us to sort of assess what the impact of the new development will be on the existing properties. Stormwater is a bit of an issue. In the development application, the proponent said, well, this is going to be something we can address by conditions. That is, I believe the council asked them to provide information on what's the impact of a 5% and 1% return on a rainfall event. The proponent sort of suggested, well, this can be conditioned. The difficulty there is that might relate to an overland flow path. Is that going to go through people's properties under their houses? And if it is a condition, then we don't have any input into that. That's something that will happen after our opportunity. Parking is an issue. I think the council in their questions to the proponent sort of raised this. We've got a large number of large vehicles on the property. Now, one of the things with moving into this village, it was something that we were told that there would be specific parking. And if you look on their website as of this morning, it still says that that parking is available. So whereas the proponent in their application suggested that, well, it's only an informal area, it is actually something they've contracted to provide us. Now, the problem is you move those large vehicles out, where are they going to park? Obvious, they park in the street. The proponent hasn't given any information on how you get your waste trucks down the road if we have multiple motorhomes parked in the same area. So that's an issue. In some cases, if you look at the size of people's frontage, they put one there, people on the other side do, it can block it off for even small vehicles. But the proponent hasn't really addressed this. They just say, well, people can park in the street, but they haven't provided any swept turning paths to sort of show that people can actually park there and for vehicles to get around. And they've also suggested that we can park in our driveways. But there's, whilst they might be satisfactory for, say, the old Falcon Commodore, which is your B85 turning circle that they normally put in developments, that's not really suitable for motorhomes. They have a much bigger turning circle. So to summarise, I'm trying to keep to 3 minutes, we're sort of seeing issues with electricity, water, sewer, stormwater and parking we would like to see addressed, but they're not. In sort of closing, I would like to invite you all, and I'll contact you individually, to sort of come out and meet with small groups of residents so we can spend a bit more time going through the issues there. Thank you.
Thank you. Next on my list is Sonia Kaleski. Orange juice would be okay?
No, just water.
Yeah.
We'll grab some for you.
Sorry to disrupt.
That's all right.
I want to talk from the back.
Yep.
Pardon? Hi, my name's Sonia Kolesky, and I feel really deeply about this proposal. I have never seen so many people really upset as the community is right now. And this proposal was just dropped on us, these 27 houses. I only found out a few days ago when I got a notice from the council about it. Now, this proposal must have been in the works for at least a year because it's a very comprehensive proposal and it would have taken a lot of time and effort. So I'm very disappointed and upset that management hasn't told us about this beforehand so that we could talk about it and express our feelings. When I first came into the village, and this was the case with many people, I understood that there would be about 120 homes there. It would be a small village. And to have these extra 27 homes dropped on us like this and jammed up into what I believe is a very small space is just awful. I can't say any other word. Now, I'm particularly upset about us losing our green area. We have a lovely village green surrounding the clubhouse, and there are mature trees there, and there's a community garden there. It's a place where people like to wander, where grandkids can play around, people can take their pets there. It's just a really nice area which is going to be decimated by all these houses being jammed in around the clubhouse. And I'm also concerned, as Adrian said, about the motorhomes because people came in there on the understanding that they would have some sort of security for their motorhomes. So that's another concern. And also, the community centre, I don't think, is big enough to take another 50 people, which will probably be the case with the 27 new homes. It isn't big enough as it is. We were told that it was going to be extended, but it never got extended. So I don't think it will be able to house the extra people there. And I just think that, in summary, I just think that the whole project has been rushed through and is just causing a lot of distrust and trauma amongst the people in this village who generally get on really well together, but they're quite dismayed by this act. And I just, you know, I don't often speak publicly, but I feel so strongly about this. I really wanted to say something. So that's about all I have to say anyway.
Thank you. Dale Byrne.
Suitable for elderly
Thank you. Wayne Burden. Beautiful. Gina Adderley.
Hello, thanks for allowing me to speak. Most of what's been addressed so far is pretty much what I want to say, except for the safety of the elderly. The idea of the retirement village is for the elderly or the older people to move in and be able to safely live within a community environment and not have the restrictions and the hassle that you have in normal suburbia. Now, our streets are narrow, we know that, so for that case, we don't have footpaths, everybody's got to walk on the road. If you get these larger vehicles parking on the road, as it is, when we park outside, when we're getting ready to go anywhere, anyone walking or driving up the street, there is a black spot area of anyone coming the other way, and it is super dangerous. And if you've got somebody like myself on a walker or that, or frail on a walking stick, they can't get out if the cars come round or if service vehicles come round. The people that are on the road, which is their walkway, should have to be safe, and they can't be safe if the vehicles are on the road. And when we were buying our little plot to build on, we were told, we said we've got an 8 metre long motorhome. He said, don't worry about that. See, straight over the road from you, right there, right next to the shed, that's where you'll park and that's where you'll stay. We said, right, well, it's 8 metres long. Don't worry about that. He said, we'll just dig a bit out of the back if it doesn't fit. No worries. And it's nice and secure, behind gates, all locked up, all secure, no problems whatsoever. Well, very secure. We had gates across the front, nothing at the back. People come down over the back, broke into several of the vehicles there, stole generators and heaps of other stuff out of them. And what happened to the security? What happened to the safety of the people on the road? And where it's landscape, we live right next to a common area, and don't worry, that that's going to be really nice. There'll be pathway up in between, and there'll be landscaping on the side, really nice walkway. It is a jungle of thistles and weeds and rocks and bumps, and you can't use a walker on it at all, and a lot of people can't walk over it because it's so uneven and dangerous. And yet they want to propose this, and in the proposal it's stated that the landscaping and gardens were maintained. That's one of the biggest crock jokes I've ever heard. A, the gardener doesn't come around very often. There's one person to deliver the gardening services for the whole of the village, and he doesn't get there. He comes to spray, but doesn't spray. He comes when the safety goes off. I think it's almost when he gets time, and that is when he's not sitting in his shed on his phone. And that's a lot of the time. So how does that help us residents? That's not security. It's not stressless. It is not safety. And all those things should be the prime importance of a retirement village towards the people that are living there. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for that. And I'll just hand over to the General Manager to say a few words.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you to everyone who's come along and especially those who've spoken and voiced their concerns. I just wanted to mention a couple of things just so everyone's clear. I believe there's a petition which was mentioned earlier. If you can just communicate with planning tomorrow or drop that in to council. And just be aware, I'm assuming from my conversation earlier that that petition is intended as a representation to the planning application and not to be confused with a legal petition, which is a separate process and is not the same as the planning process. So just have that conversation with, it'll probably be Joe Blackwell here in planning tomorrow, just so you're clear about what you're submitting and that it's in the planning process rather than a petition process, and we can give you advice on that. Also, just to mention that there's a number of, just to be aware that through the planning process, council only has the power to assess the matters in the planning scheme that are relevant to the development. So there may be some of the concerns and issues that you've raised tonight may be legitimate, but they may not be things that council is able to consider as part of the planning assessment. They may be things that you need to try and resolve with the owner. So just be aware of that. We're pretty limited in what we can consider and address by the planning scheme and by our legal role. So just be aware of that as well. I think the application is on notice until
27th.
Yep, so be aware to get any submissions in before then and try to focus them on the planning matters that relate to the development. And that's all from me. Thanks, Mayor.
Excellent. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm happy to take a question. Just in regards to public question time and deputations, we may take a question on notice and get back to you. But if it's something simple that council staff may be able to answer now, obviously I'll give them an opportunity to answer it.
Broadly, I'd have to take that on notice. I'm not aware of the specific issues that you raise. The only thing I can say just now is that obviously there are matters of the development application regarding waste management that will be considered as part of it and conditioned on any future permit if it is approved, and that we will always be looking at any interaction with council-owned infrastructure or land as part of that as well. Yeah, look, our Director of Governance may be better than that for me, but it's not, doesn't tend to be used for a planning application, so it sits separate to the process. It's probably not really appropriate for this sort of matter, but off the top of my head, I think what are the key provisions to... basically, if we get a petition, we have to respond to it at the following council meeting a month later. That's the extent of our responsibility. But there are requirements on the petitioners under the Act, which make it a bit more onerous than just making a planning submission. But it's probably not going to help your case with the development application. Your best form of raising your concerns for that are to make a submission through the advertising period for the the actual development application and to focus on the planning matters.
Yeah, I'll just ask councillors, are you happy for me to continue?
Yep.
Thank you. Go ahead.
The question I asked, when was this first submitted for the houses we put on the plot to the council?
A little while ago. I'd have to look up the exact date.
Yeah. But I have to take that on notice. Yep. What typically happens, though, when we receive a planning application is the first thing our planning and engineering team will do is review it for what information is not present that is needed for us to assess it. And so within the first 2 or 3 weeks, we'll respond to that application and say what information we require to assess it against the plan.
So the first 2 weeks, the council takes up the information, so when it's submitted, and you said 2 weeks ago, did you say?
Oh, no, it would be longer than that. I'm not sure off the top of my head, but we have 3 weeks to request further information.
Right.
So, you know, some applications...
So it could take 6 weeks to get the information?
It can take as long as the applicant wants to take. Right. So, yeah. You know, sometimes it's a few days, sometimes it's a year.
Yeah, well, probably we've been given 72 hours notice to come to this meeting tonight.
We
haven't been informed from either the management side, whoever bought the property, or any shape or form, or council. I realise the council's got to hold this up and go through the procedure.
Yeah.
Probably 6 weeks, then we get the letter.
Yep.
Right, so when we got the letter the same day that the new management's taken over. So we've got 72 hours notice, come and see you guys, and then we turn up here tonight. And virtually, we've put out all our information, our submissions, but we've got no way. That's the basic plan that I look at. And as far as that goes, we I just give up.
Yeah, so just with the planning process...
I'm not blaming the council. I'm not blaming the council side of it. It should have been the management side. It should have told us prior that this was going to be done, and that's it.
Well, just so everyone understands the council process and the planning process. So we... It's pretty strict under the Act, the State Government Land Use and Planning Act. We have 42 days to decide on a planning application, but that time, the clock stops if we request further information, and we only have 21 days to request that. So without being familiar with it, I could almost guarantee we did request further information for an application at this scale. That would have been things we needed to know.
Yep.
So the clock would have stopped. But then as soon as we have all the information that we've asked for, we then have to put it on public notice for 14 days.
And that's when we get the letter.
Exactly, yeah. And so that is all we can do, and that is all we should do under the Act. So that's our role. And then after that period of 14 days, our staff will review all the submissions against the planning scheme and assess the development application with what's been submitted and with all the comments from people such as yourself, and then we'll make a recommendation with a report
so
to the council.
When it's submitted to you, does that go into how long before that goes into the Mercury public notices? Just the other question I just
wanted. As soon as we've got all the information, it'll go into the Mercury within a few days.
Right.
Typically,
it could take up to 6 weeks to do that to get into the Mercury.
So, just to be clear, so. When we request further information, it's then back on the applicant. That they could take a year if they wanted, and it would just sit there waiting until we get the information. But once we are satisfied that we have all the information we need, it'll be advertised within a few days. We typically, I think, advertise Saturdays and Wednesdays.
How many days from the time you get the submission to when it goes in the paper?
If we've got all the information... A few days, but if we get, it might be a year, because if we're still waiting on information, we won't advertise it until we've got
the
full
information. The people have asked here, what goes on? 2 days. Thank you very much.
No worries.
Through you, Mayor, the traffic information assessment was dated the 8th of August, so council, I think, asked for a request for further information around traffic.
Yep.
And that would have been before the 8th of August. So that's what sort of timeline we're looking at.
Eighth of August.
that's on the surface to me, and you can add that to.
I'll just reiterate, council requires all the information for the development application that satisfies what we want to see to assess it properly under the planning scheme, and then we advertise it. So then there's 14 days from the date it goes in the Mercury for people to put in their submissions. At the end of that particular period, our staff then take into account all those submissions and they write a report for us to assess at the next planning committee meeting or full ordinary council meeting. So obviously it was advertised 14 days before the 27th or 29th.
27th.
So it would have been advertised on around about the 13th or 14th.
So that's actually put in paper.
That's correct, sir. We notify neighbours. Were all the
we
people in the village?
We notify neighbours occupants as well.
Yeah. So we as a matter of course, if you are a neighbour or a neighbouring property to where the development is occurring, we will then notify you that there is an application that may affect you, and give you an opportunity to seek out the information that you need about it, and put in an objection or put in a positive, say that listen, this is the best thing since sliced bread. Whatever you feel is appropriate, you can do. Yeah. That's all right. One more. Did you have a question, or have we answered that? That's all right.
Fair enough.
Thank you. We'll now move on to or back to our regular agenda, and item six is reports from council. Item
Thank
six.
You for listening to us.
Pleasure. Item 6.1 is the Mayor's communications for the previous month. Is there any questions or anything you'd like highlighted? Councillor Owen?
The Archdiocese of Brighton, what was that discussion about?
Yeah, the Bishop reached out to me.
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor.
Bless you, my son.
Should we leave? Should we let them go?
Thanks, Councillor Owen, for your question. The Bishop reached out to me after we attended a church service up at Pondville some months ago, just to meet him in his office in town to discuss the future of the Pondville Anglican Church and seek my personal opinion as a parishioner attending church every now and again and obviously as a representative of the community as well. So we just had a brief discussion on my views on the church and the importance that it has from a personal perspective to our family and the connection we have to that church, as well as what his bigger plan is for the Anglican Church in this particular area. I think it probably is... they would like to move a full-time minister or ministers, husband and wife, possibly into our municipality, and they're looking at purchasing a property, which I think he sort of indicated the meeting that you and I both attended at Pondville. They're also looking for possibly another building in the municipality to run the church out of, in addition to St Mark's obviously continuing as a church on the top of Pondville Hill. We had a brief discussion in regards to the property and land, which I said I would investigate with council staff as to the planning scheme requirements in regards to disposal of that land or the selling of that land.
Yeah.
And that was about it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Mayor.
Is there anything else? If not, is someone prepared to move that the communications be received? Moved by Councillor Curran, seconded by Councillor De La Torre. I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carry. Thank you. Item 6.2 is report from council representatives. Is there anyone wish to report? Councillor
Yes, Mr. Mayor. On Monday, I met with the Brighton Football, one of the representatives from the Brighton Football Club and netball, which they already met with yourself and some of the staff members. So just give us the spin on what they were trying to do with the coming federal election, with money-wise and what they wanted to do in bits and pieces. So that's still ongoing. So, yeah, it was quite an amicable meeting. So, yeah. I put a couple of points of view that I felt that it was, that complex was there. It's in the wrong place. It should be down this way. But it wasn't rejected straight outright. So there was a little. I was quite impressed. I was actually impressed when they said that. So that was something different. But it's just I tend to agree that financially wise, it would probably be a burden on us in the next year if we got that amount of money. We'd have to find the ongoing costs for it and the depreciation, which is I don't know. The finance lady will have to chase her up and see if that was feasible. So, yeah, but that's still ongoing. So that was a bit, it was an interesting meeting, so that was really good. The other thing, I attended the Emergency Coordinators Management Committee meeting down at Harrah. It was quite interesting. There wasn't really any massive disasters or any come out of that. They're still looking at other aspects and maybe getting along the recovery coordinators along to the same meeting as well to make it more interesting to bring us all on the line and stream. So, and the only other one, I probably should just say you're aware, I get around occasionally, I attended Marawa Fire Station opening with the State Fire Commission as a local government representative, but I also got a view of a couple of other fire stations and SES buildings, but also got a tour of the Smithton Fire Station as well, but the other one was really good. I got a tour of the council chambers at Smithton, so was very impressed with that. Was quite nice here, and I got actually shocked that right next door is the old
duck factory,
which is really ancient. It's a shame that it's just sitting there going to rack and ruin, because I think that would be a lovely museum piece, which I voiced my opinion on that, but again the money aspect came up with the finance people as well, so we're not the only council involved. So yeah, so no, it was quite interesting. So that was the three things I've been involved in.
And Peter, you were invited to the one that Barbara and I, you had that invitation?
Here.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
No, that's okay. I just wanted to make sure that that invite.
Yeah, no, I didn't have it because I was away.
No, cool. Yeah. Thank you.
And my computer's been down, but it's working beautifully now.
Good to hear. Is there any other? Councillor Owen.
Yeah, Mayor, thank you. In a semi-official capacity, I attended the AGM of the Derwent Catchment Project at Corinna Farm on the 9th, Saturday the 9th of this month. And totally unofficial, but I think it's incumbent on me to report that I had attended the Legat Health and Wellbeing Forum, at which one of our staff were presenting, and that was Kylie. She made a presentation, it went down very well, and there were some good lessons learned in relation to health and wellbeing at a local government level from mainland, or three mainland councils. And on Saturday just gone, 16th, I attended the variety concert by the Jordan River Theatre Company, again involving Kylie and other members of staff. And that was a very, very well attended concert. And a credit to those staff that were involved with that.
Thanks, Councillor Owen. Is there any further reports? If not, can I ask for someone to move those two reports, please? Moved by Councillor De La Torre. The seconder, please. Mm-hmm. Seconded by Councillor Curran. If there's no discussion, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 7 is miscellaneous correspondence, which is attached to our agenda. There was a letter of appreciation from Uniting in regards to an event held at the Civic Centre, a letter from the Premier in regards to Tell Someone campaign, a letter from Mr. John Wood in regards to the naming of the the new Bridgewater Bridge and Council's response from myself to him, a letter to the Department of Premier and Cabinet in regarding to the ongoing Tasmanian Youth Justice Facility, which is built just over our border in Southern Midlands at Ponfield, or going to be built. A letter from to the Minister for Planning is dated the 11th of November in regards to our objection, I would say, to the development assessment panels on the draft bill that they've put forward. So all that correspondence is attached to our agenda this evening.
Through you, Mayor, can I just mention that letter of appreciation? I did attend that event. It was an exceptional event. Sadly, not that well attended, particularly as it was in school holidays, and there were that many activities for kids of a musical nature and an entertainment nature, and it was an exceptional event, and it's just sad that not as many people went to it and enjoyed it as they could have.
Cool. Thanks, Councillor Allen. Item 8 is notification of council workshops. There was one council workshop held in the month of November, and the attendance by all councillors is noted. Item 9 is notice of motion, and there are no notices of motions on tonight's agenda. Item 10 is consideration of supplementary items. There are no supplementary items. Item 11 is reports from committees, and item 11.1 is the Finance Committee held on the 5th of November. We have the recommendations of that Finance Committee, and there is a recommendation that those be adopted. Happy to move. Thank you. Moved by Councillor Curran, seconded by Councillor McMaster. Is there any discussion or debate?
Nope.
If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 11.2. Once again, the Parks and Recreation Committee on the 5th of November, and we have the minutes and the recommendations, and there's a recommendation to adopt the recommendations of the Park and Recreation Committee held on the 5th of November.
So moved.
Moved by Councillor Geard, seconded by Councillor Della Torre. Is there any discussion or debate? If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Moving on, item 12 is Council acting as a planning authority. Just remind everyone that we are acting under the Land Use Planning and Approvals Act 1993. In respect to the items that we're about to discuss. Item 12.1. Just note Councillor Curran has left the room. Item 12.1 is a draft amendment to the Brighton local provision schedule to remove 168 Brighton Road, Brighton, from that schedule of heritage places. Hand over to Jo.
Thank you. You'll remember that in earlier this year, I'll get my dates right, sorry, there was an application to amend the local provisions in relation to local heritage, historic heritage code in relation to 168 Brighton Road. That was initiated and advertised as per the requirements of the Act. During the exhibition period, we received a submission from Taswater saying that they had no concerns. And slightly after the end of the exhibition period, Heritage Tasmania responded with some queries about the way the report was written. We contacted the applicant and asked them to provide some further details, which eventually came through late October. So we've had a look at that and we've considered that the application, as revised, adequately addresses the requirements, and we recommend that you resolve to progress the application in accordance with that written at page 15, which there's a few dot points there, so I'll, but effectively sending it to Planning Commission for determination.
Thanks, Joe. Councillors, any questions of Joe in regards to this item?
Happy to move it.
Thank you. We have a recommendation on page 15, which is to send it to the Commission without any modification. It's been moved by Councillor Della Torre and seconded by Councillor Owen. Is there any discussion or debate?
I think the report was well written and explained the representations and their impacts on the application adequately.
Thank you. Thanks, Councillor Della Torre. Anything else from other councillors? Thank you. If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. We'll just get Councillor Curran back.
Yep.
Thanks, Michael. That concludes the planning section of our meeting this evening. Moving on, item 13 is officers' reports. And item 13.1 is nominations for the Tasmania Animal Welfare Advisory Committee. Can I hand over to Janine just for a brief explanation?
Two pages. Yep.
Just
there's a few little Legat committees that you know people nominate for, but they don't necessarily get appointed. So it's a statewide thing.
These nominations will be taken, given to Legat. They'll bring them to the General Management Committee, of which I'm a member, and that GMC will make a decision as to who we place on the board.
That's a bit different to the fire service. Legat put your nominations forward to the minister, and the minister picks on the for the fire service, which is a bit different.
This one's a little bit.
It's a bit different. Around the other one.
A lot more complex.
Yeah, complex. It is very complex.
We have three options, and we don't need to nominate anyone. So if no one's interested, that's fine. If anyone is interested, just put up your hand and.
I'd just like to point out that Councillor Irons isn't here to refuse his nomination, so. No.
I used to hear sheep in that, but even I'm not interested either.
So at this point in time, it doesn't look like there are any nominations from our council, so if I can get someone to move option two, which Councillor do not forward a nomination for the Tasmanian Animal Welfare Advisory Committee. Thank you. Moved by Councillor Owen, seconded by Councillor Della Torre. Discussion or debate?
Yep.
I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 13.2 is naming of roads and streets and renaming of Lewis Court in Old Beach. Joe.
Thank you, Mayor. This
is a quick report which addresses the need to change Lewis Court to Lewis Drive. This eventuates because stage 12 of Tivoli Green is on the cards and the roundabout's being created and the road is now a through road rather than ending it. So Katie has been in contact with Place Naming Guidelines people and they've worked through the best way to address this and their recommendation is to change it to Lewis Drive.
Simple.
We did a letterbox drop about 2 weeks ago just to let people know it was happening and asked them to contact us to discuss. We haven't had any contact about that, so we'll assume that they're okay with that at this stage, but we really couldn't leave it as a court anyway, so... the recommendation is to change the name to Lewis Drive.
Just a quick, can I throw you, Mayor, a question? I can't find the map quick enough. I've noticed the roundabout's in and the roadworks is in threat. Yeah. Is that going to extend right the way through to the Dogleg Road that goes down?
It will eventually.
Yeah, that is going to be part of the Lewis. Yeah, no, fine. I'd be happy to move.
Thank you. There's a recommendation to endorse the renaming Lewis Court Old Beach to Lewis Drive Old Beach. It's been moved by Councillor Owen, second by Councillor Della Torre. Discussion or debate?
Yep.
Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 13.3 is the complete set of financial statements for the 2023-24 financial year. I'll hand over to Gillian.
So I'm just presenting under Section 84 of the Local Government Act, the complete set of financial statements. So we had TAS audit do our audit this year instead of Wiseland and Ferguson. So it was a little bit more onerous that they needed more information and things like that. So, but we've got a qualified set of statements, which is always good. The only thing to note is that we did have to restate some of our actuals from 2023, which was mainly to do with land values. So I'd valued it incorrectly. I had adjusted it each year and it shouldn't have been. It should have just been indexed from the actual original value from the VG's office. So that resulted in a prior year adjustment error, which was good for me because I learnt how to fix it. So it was $4.4 million adjustment from land, declining land and declining the asset reval reserve. The recurrent income was up slightly from the previous year. The total income included capital income of $2.8 million. There were no subdivision contributions received by developers this year after a substantial amount of, I think, $2.9 or something last year. Total expenses were up slightly due to the higher maintenance and material costs and also from the increase in wages. So we've actually working at full capacity now. So that was exciting for last financial year from a staffing point of view. Depreciation has also increased as well due to our capital investments and also resulted in a positive net result for the year of $3.6 million. If we do take away the capital grants and the cost on sales, we'll still have a small surplus of $810,000, which is a really good position to be in. Significant capital investments this year that were capitalised was the Pontville Show Shed, the Seymour Street off Lead Dog area, the Swan Park and Chris Fitzpatrick upgrades, and the footpath as well, and Eldersea Road roundabout and Millbar Road as well as Andrew Street, that's in the WIC in the financial statements. So I'm just asking the council to accept that the financial statements be received.
Thanks, Gillian. Councillors, any questions of Gillian?
Can I just confirm, you said unqualified?
Qualified.
It says unqualified in the report.
Qualified.
Unqualified.
Unqualified.
Sorry, yes.
Unqualified's good. Unqualified. Thank you.
Feels back to France.
any further questions? If not, we have a recommendation on page 22 that the financial statements for the 2023-24 financial year be received. Moved by Councillor Della Torre, seconded by Councillor Geard. Any discussion or debate?
Well, I'd like to congratulate on the report. It's actually really easy to read and done well. So, yeah, and we've got a bit of money left, so that's good.
Yeah, I'd just add that we've had a good, strong result despite a few budgeting considerations that have been taken into account there. Fantastic to see us exceeding many of the metrics that we track against, and really pleased to have the team that we've got in that role. Thank you.
Thank you. If there's nothing further, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 13.4 is 2A Eddington Street in Bridgewater, the Material Institute lease. Handing it over to Gillian again.
The council has received a request to extend the current lease from the Material Institute, who are the current lease holders of 2A Eddington Street. Over the past 5 years of their tenure at Eddington Street, they've invested substantial capital funds into that site and run many events and programs that are helping the community. They run their 24-carat program from there, and I did look on their website and they distributed over 900 kilograms of fruit and vegetable and over 5,000 seedlings in the past year. They also have their beauty lab where they run programs which are teaching students the science behind beauty products. They've also got their art studio where the community and students have the opportunity to make something to keep, and recently the Botanical Kitchen and Cafe, which acts as a commercial kitchen, educational food classroom and a social enterprise. They've invested approximately $1.6 million into this property, as well as general maintenance that they've undertaken as well during their time there. It's just, like previously, we've had different things run at that site, and they haven't really been as successful as what the Material Institute is. I think we can all agree that they have done a really good job for our community, and we should be very grateful to have them. They would like to enter into a 5+5+5 lease with council, which would give them peace of mind and the reassurance to plan their business from the site long term as well. So as a lease, they are asking for extends beyond the 5-year period. We need to follow section 178 of the Local Government Act, which is the sale, disposal or exchange, sale, exchange and disposal of public land. So whereby it has to come to council first for a consensus on whether you agree to lease the property for that length of time, and then if you do, we will then go down the route of advertising and then enter into a lease agreement if there are no submissions. So I just ask council to agree to the recommendation that is put forward, with that being council approved the lease for 5+5+5 term with the Material Institute.
Thanks, Gillian. Councillors, any questions?
No, happy to move it.
Can I just ask about the quantum of the lease? Is that standard lease conditions, or have they requested anything outside the usual?
It'll just be our standard lease conditions, and because that it is, I think it falls outside the community. I think it falls within the community leasing, so it'll be that $500 that we've approved previously for our community leases, and then they'll have to pay for the maintenance and everything on that.
Thank you.
So the 5+5, if we say after the year 10 we decide that we want a term, and we can't.
Yeah, I think we can't do that. We have to actually have that clause in to let them terminate it, or we're able to terminate
it. That's right, yes, so. That's what I thought. So, yeah, I'm fine, I'm happy, but it's a really good organisation.
Thank you. Any further questions? If not, the recommendation as written on page 25 has been moved by Councillor Curran, seconded by Councillor Whelan. I think you were first. Thank you. Is there any discussion or debate?
It's just one thing, Mayor. I wouldn't mind receiving. I agree with the concept. I'd just like to see a plan or of what we're actually, they're being leased, what is actually being leased to them.
Specifically, 8 Eddington Road property, so it's...
You must have a...
Yeah, I can send through a plan.
Yeah, that'd be lovely. Thank you.
Councillor Curran, you wish to say anything?
No, just that this organisation does great work and I think we should support them.
Thank you. Councillor Whelan.
Thanks, Mr Mayor. Yeah, no, it's great that they want to embrace a long-term future for that site.
Mm.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you. I might even just add that, you know, the investment that they've made in that particular property over the last few years with the new commercial kitchen, cafe, the beauty lab, what they've done there to tidy it up, the functions they hold there. I mean, Winterfest, or what was it called this year? Sprinterfest? Or something of that nature. You know, it's just absolutely tremendous. Assisting us with the governor's visit last year was just absolutely fantastic. They welcomed us with open arms and were the most gracious hosts. You know, so I think you know, giving them an opportunity to come and assist our community for another 15 years is pretty good. Councillors, anything further? If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Moving on, item 14 is questions on notice, and there are no questions on notice for the November meeting. And that concludes our council meeting for November. Thank you very much for your attendance.